From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in the end, Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Lydia Simchich, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark LaCroix. I, too, make nice games. For this special Nicest of 2025 episode, we review the list of the nicest games we've played over the past year and go over what we're looking forward to playing and working on in 2026. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start. Another year gone.
Woo!
Hooray. All right.
Bear, 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 bear.
We're all tired because it's near the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll get right into it, but a lot of things happened to me this year,
yeah.
And it was maybe one of the most difficult years of my life in a way that is not something that I've talked about at all on the show.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to be past a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
A lot of it had to do with the work that I did, and I'll talk about it. But there was a lot more that happened, and it's been a bit of a rough one. But I will say, having the show and being able to mark the professional chapters has been very stabilizing for me.
Yeah, that's good.
I hope that's been it's provided a similar function for the two of you.
It definitely has. I mean, it's been a rough year for me too,
yeah.
In different ways. So, 2025. Woo.
Well, okay. So, the way we do the nicest episodes,
yes,
is we talk a little bit about what our accomplishments for the year were,
mm-hmm.
sort of all good news, and then we talk about really what the premise of the program is: the nicest the games we played. Folks who've listened for a long time know that that just means whatever. We're not reviewing things. It's not our top 10.
Yep.
It's just whatever we thought was pretty nice and we played. It doesn't have to have been released in 2025 either.
Right.
So don't give us letters.
Yeah, don't give us feedback on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell
yeah.
me why I'm wrong about other things.
And then we're going to talk about our sort of game dev resolutions
mm-hmm.
and what we're planning on working on. So, and we'll take a look at last year's and
yeah.
see, did anything go to plan?
Yeah.
If history is any guide, I don't think so.
Nope.
But
conveniently, Lydia is off the hook this year.
I participated in some things.
Lydia backfilled.
Oh, okay.
So she can be as disappointed in herself as we are in ourselves.
So I was actually going to ask, like, are you people that make resolutions? Because I did something that I saw this year that I saw that I actually was really kind of cool is I made a bingo card for 2025.
Oh.
Instead of resolutions. And then I put stickers when I did those. And
nerd.
Some of the things that I'm going to say that I was able to backfill were on my 2025 bingo card.
So Lydia had an actual record to go back to.
Amazing. A little bit, yeah.
Quite handy, quite handy. I knew we picked a good permanent host.
Oh, thank you. I try.
Yeah. Steven, you structured this. It says that I'm going first.
Yes.
My 2025 accomplishments, I have a lot of them, surprisingly. I look back, I'm like, oh, I did a lot of stuff. Big one, of course, I released a game this year.
Yeah.
Big deal. And it has been mentioned as honorable mentions in a couple of best of.
Oh!
You know, it's been like on a couple of podcasts and a couple of things. It's,
yeah.
It's been the something of the year for a lot of people.
That's hype as hell.
It's surreal, is
yeah.
what it is. Especially because of it was a very unorthodox production, which
mm-hmm.
folks who've listened to the show this year have heard me talk a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a lot that I haven't talked about the project, but, it was definitely an unusual project, from all corners.
Yeah.
And then to have it come out it's doing okay. I would not describe it as a smash success. And it's definitely, it's not putting me in a new tax bracket or anything.
Sure.
But it's certainly the most successful game I've ever, it's been talked about.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's really cool.
In a way that is pretty exciting, for me. So, that's kind of incredible. And within the backdrop of what else this year was, it's been very weird for me.
Yeah.
Very roller coaster-y. But it was pretty exciting. And I'm still working on it. I'm doing this Mac port that I talked about last week a little bit. And I've got ambitions for next year, which I'll talk about then. Another one of accomplishments is Nice Games Alliance, which is, despite its name, unrelated to this program, is a nonprofit organization that we in the Twin Cities community started. I'm the chair of the board of directors
mm-hmm.
For that. And it was a whole process last year of getting that happening.
Yeah.
But this was our first year of operation.
Yeah.
And we raised a bunch of money, which was pretty nice, all from individual contributors, donors, people within the community, but enough to start... paying volunteers for event stipends.
That includes me.
That includes Steven.
I got paid.
It paid for the holiday party this year. We're building up a coffer. Mm-hmm. We're still not ready to have like regular expenses because we don't know how sustainable our quote unquote income is.
For sure.
We've got a good cushion. We can do things now. We can, and it's pretty exciting. So we have ambitions. And I'll talk more about what those are later on.
Yeah.
Another big one, just a personal milestone for me is, and it's not going to happen until next year. I'm going to be a GDC speaker. And I found out about that this year.
Exciting.
Which is something I've always sort of always aspired to. One of the things that I really enjoy about doing this program is why anyone likes doing a podcast is to tell people what you think. There's a selfishness to it, but there's also a, like, I have thoughts I want to share. I want to hear people think. And, and that's, I've always felt, I want to be a communicator. I want to share what I know. I don't like just having knowledge and just rattling around in my brain. It doesn't have a lot of use to me once I've, you know, made use of it. I'm excited to be part of a sort of community of folks who talk to the industry. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I would like to do that again in the future, even though I haven't had the experience yet. So we'll see if I like it.
What was your talk on?
Oh, that's true. I've mentioned this, but I haven't talked indeed on the program. But I am going to be doing a roundtable.
Okay.
So it won't be recorded. So unfortunately, I won't be able to share it with listeners. Dang. But it's going to be about canceled games.
Ah.
So this is something that happened to me this year, and I'll talk about that as well. Hmm. I'm going to lead a discussion of folks throughout the industry who have been part of projects that have been canceled.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a thing that's happening a lot.
Yeah.
And this is separate from layoffs, but it's sometimes tied in with that. So it'll be interesting to see who shows up to the roundtable.
Well, I'll probably be there.
My impetus for it was when I was going through that process.
Yeah.
And I have not talked a lot about it on the show because there's fallout that needs to be taken care of. And so I haven't been able to talk as much about that as I would like to.
Sure, sure.
But going through that process, a lot of what was going through my mind is like, how do other people deal with this?
Yeah.
Because it felt like such a unique situation for me, but like there must be universal elements to find from other people's stories. And so that was why I pitched the roundtable is let's learn from each other, not in a, this industry sucks and these things happen and this is all bad and blah, blah, blah. Although I'm going to allot 5 minutes at the beginning for, you know, boohooing.
Yeah,
I think we all, you know, it's like an important thing to get out of our systems.
For sure.
But, what next? Like, what can you learn from the experience? What can you carry forward? How do you mourn?
Yeah.
What do you do next? Mm-hmm. What can you salvage? And that comes from if you're an independent developer, like, do you need, you know, did your studio go under? Do you have trust issues now with the three people you worked on a project with? Or do you, you know, for a, on a AAA studio, like, do you still work there? Like, is that fun? Like, starting anew on something else? Or, how do you regain trust in that environment? And so you learned a bunch of skills to make this project that's not going to be seen. Is that valuable to you?
Yeah.
And there's a little silver lining seeking in there. Like, what did you actually accomplish that actually you wouldn't have done? And, you know, not to try to turn it around and say that everything happens for a reason, because I think that's a little bit too, that's not productive.
Yeah.
But I think people, it's very easy to forget like what you did gain from the experience.
Right. Yes.
So anyway, I'm excited to talk about it. I think there were other talks that I pitched that I would be more maybe excited to give. But this was something that just hit me and very personal thing that happened to me. And so I'm like, it should be a roundtable.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of wisdom to share on the subject, frankly. Like, there's nothing I could really say that more people that would actually teach anybody anything.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought, like, I've led discussions. I've done roundtables.
Yeah.
I think that would be the best use of that format. And the advisory committee agreed. So
you will be great at it.
Thank you.
I mean, it also does, I think, Harkin, I think, I don't know if you, this is your thing, so maybe you can say, but it was really interesting to talk to you after the Kickstarter failed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember very much saying, like, you all had spent a bunch of time on something. I said, but you had learned that was something that you had taken away from a previous experience and you learned that you should do, you know, and kind of processing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Listeners, we'll put that episode in the show notes because it's one of our best. Steven talked. I mean, I think I think I even said it in the episode. It required a lot of like emotional maturity to be able to lay it all out. And you did a great job with it. And, it's put me off the hook a little bit because like you shared a lot of what I would share.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
That sort of experience.
Very, like, very much in the holding in both hands, the, you know, trying to process what you, what happened and what needed to happen and what didn't happen and what could be, what could have been different, and both what you learned and the things that you had done right.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think that, like, there was a very good discussion with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that that came across, but like, this isn't my accomplishments.
I know. We're talking about things that I did that were good.
Yeah.
And part of it is about this bad thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, last item on my list here is, and this happened very recently.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Baseman, who is a friend of the show and also on the board of Nice Games Alliance, she and I had this put together this idea of, wouldn't it be great if we liaised with a bunch of other indie game dev communities across the country? And so she made some contacts at MDev and got really excited about, like, I know people I could talk to join us for this.
Oh, okay.
And so that was really the Kickstarter, is like her, this idea had been floating around and she and I had talked about it with the other members of the board, including also a friend of the show, Beth Korth, about this kind of thing would be a great use of us as an organization to like share from people and share resources and all that. But Sam kickstarted it because she met some people who she'd like to start it with.
Mm-hmm.
So she and I started a Discord server called the Game Dev Community Federation, where just a place for community leaders to just chat, very casual, share resources, ask questions, learn from each other. And then we started doing monthly calls.
Yeah.
So we did our second one yesterday from where I'm sitting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I actually have some news on that. And it's sort of news to share later.
Mm-hmm.
But we have already 11 different organizations from 9 cities in the Midwest are represented now.
Dang.
Within this server. And we're all sharing our knowledge and we're planning projects. And it has been incredible. And it's just a place for us to plan and share. Like, it's not the demands on it is not that high.
Yeah.
So it's a very efficient accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's not like a big new project. It's just, we've opened a door. We have a new place for people to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And if we have ideas for things we want to do, we can chat about it and we'll just get together. It's the kind of thing that we wanted from IDGA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of like inter-organizational networking that we just never really got from them.
Right.
So we're like, let's just do it ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not a big lift.
Mm-hmm.
So a huge thanks to Sam for like finally kickstarting it. It's been really great. I'm really excited about it and where it's going to go in the future.
Yeah.
It's a part of what our organization locally is going to benefit from, the networking with other organizations of the same size.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. We're keeping it limited to the Midwest right now, but you know, we're eyeing on some of those West Coast indie groups, seeing if they want to chat with us as well. So you, dear listener, if you are a leader or an organizer or a volunteer in your local game dev community, send me a message in our Discord, and I'll get you hooked up into the Game Dev Community Federation, because we want more voices. We're going to have these monthly calls that people can, if they're available, they can come to. It's no, you know, we don't do roll call, or rather we don't take attendance.
Yeah.
You don't lose points, or you don't get kicked out if you don't show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you get a place where you can learn what other people are doing in other places and maybe help you plan events, share tips on equipment you want to use. How do you get speakers? What's a good social event? How do we do a co-working event?
Yeah.
How do I plan a game jam? How do we get people to come back? Like, these are things we talk about.
Tons of resources.
And it's already been very productive.
Cool.
It's really, really exciting. So,
awesome.
Big accomplishment, very recent. I'm pretty excited about
Yay.
That.
Awesome.
All right, Steven.
What'd you do?
I did a couple of things.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying I did a couple. I'm sure I did more than this, but I always forget. And it's been a year.
It is hard. You're like, was that in February or was it 7 years ago?
Right.
Yeah.
for real. So, I made a Kickstarter. It was not successful, but the fact that I made a Kickstarter is big.
Yeah.
Cause like, it turns out those are hard.
Oh yeah.
Very difficult.
So much work.
So hard. And like, it was moderately successful regardless of the fact that we didn't meet the goal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of money we were asking for. So like, I feel proud about that.
I'm sticking my flag in the dirt again to say, I don't understand how that thing didn't blow the barn doors. You know,
yeah,
it's incredible. It was a great campaign. It was a really attractive project.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you talked a lot about it in the episode about like why it didn't work, or at least the theory is why it didn't work.
Yeah,
but I'm like, I don't know. It's just first impressions. I don't know why it didn't The world is cruel, Stephen.
Truly.
Like, that thing deserves to succeed 10 times over.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Making that impression means a lot. So I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
Additional news is I joined a separate co-op, which I guess is news to everybody here. I
didn't know anything about this.
This co-op is called Melanated Game Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a co-op.
Wait, that sounds familiar.
I've heard of that, yeah.
It's because Tim Davis, who we've had on the show before, he is one of the
co-owners. Okay.
And so I went talking with him about it because, like, you know, Future Club is a co-op. And so, like, we were talking about co-op stuff a little bit here and there. Then I let him know that I was out of work, and he was like, oh, well, you could join Melanated Game Kitchen. And I was like, okay. And then I did. Mm-hmm. It was very fast,
yeah.
Which is part of why I think I didn't talk about it, because, like, I haven't had to do a lot, but I'm just, like, in the Discord. but, yeah, that's exciting. It's not, like, a job
right
now. It doesn't pay, I mean. It will potentially lead to work in the future.
Right.
So I'm hoping that, like, it'll lead to something.
So are you sort of currently just joining in a community sense, or are you a co-owner in this new project?
I am. So their structure is different in that, like, you kind of get benefits based off how much you contribute to their whole thing, which can include, like, stuff like I'm now part of the community team where I'm helping create community events and stuff, both internally and externally. So, like, the more you contribute to it, the more, like, you will get out of it in the future. Right now, like, you know, they don't have any funds, which is part of why I'm, like, not contributing a lot. But I don't think that, like, they're expecting a lot from me right now anyway.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the main thing. So I'm not quite a co-owner yet, but I am one of the chefs.
I got distracted and very excited that they're working on a game where you get to play as Bass Reeves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. There should be more games with Bass Reeves in it.
We had this a game locally being worked on that was also a Bass Reeves game.
Really?
Did we?
Yeah.
Got to learn about that.
There was also, like, a documentary kind of recently, so I think it's kind of an in vogue, kind of underappreciated historical figure.
Yeah, I read a book about him in fifth grade, and it stuck with me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. He's a cool figure. But anyways, yeah, I have joined that. And I'm hoping that it will lead to, at the very least, projects that I could work on.
Yeah.
In the near future, that I'm excited about. I can also pitch them games that I want to work on.
And, like,
it's gonna be Sledgehammer Project.
Yeah.
So it's back on the menu.
Woo!
So we'll see where that goes. But that, I think, is all of the two things that I can remember I've done this year. I'm sure there was more. Listeners, let me know. Actually, tell me what I was wrong about in the feedback form about not remembering.
Well, you started that fishing minigame collection.
Right. we should talk about that later.
Okay.
All right, Lydia, what did you do this year?
I joined the podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Lydia wins.
That counts as an accomplishment. I didn't think about that, but yeah. That's great.
I mean, we got a Lydia, so a big deal for us.
It's huge.
I'm arguably the most significant accomplishment I've done all year. I also want to, in the vein of employment, give props to Ellen, which is her and Nikita's Herculean accomplishment of getting me hired full time.
Yeah,
she tells
a little bit about them.
Yeah,
but then
it was a lot of effort that they had to do. But yeah, I got hired full time as a designer, so I was a full time employee as opposed to a contract designer, and it took a lot of effort on their part. And so, big shout out to Ellen.
I imagine not no effort on your part.
I existed and kept doing suitable work, but
well,
there was
your
a lot
effort
of
was
energy.
You're really cool.
Yeah, that feels like enough to me.
Thank
like,
you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it wasn't. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it was enough for us, but I guess, I don't know, companies are different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ellen also is the one who suggested you for the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Ellen, you know, is still, influence lives on, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Ellen. But yeah. So now on to games. Reminder, it's not a best of 2025, not a definitive list of favorites, just a few games we want to be nice to.
Yes.
Steven is the script master, and I am first on this list.
Yeah, actually, let me talk about that a little bit, because I basically just copy-pasted it from the last year's.
Oh, okay.
And I guess we have a weird order, so I should probably update this so it's at least consistent.
Game.club/feedback.
Yeah.
Anyway,
doing it right.
Uh-huh.
Would you prefer a different order? And if so, what order?
Right. Yes. Let me know.
Is it by host you like the most to host you like the least, or vice versa.
Don't put that under the into the air anyway.
So I tried very hard to keep it to games that I have that are from 2025. Games that are not from 2025 that I have played, you have probably already heard me talk about, like Chance of Sinar and Dave the Diver.
Right,
and
sure.
I can't remember when I played and Danganronpa game, but it was probably played one of them in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
The ones my nicest wordplay.
It's nice, great. Okay.
It is in the ranks of bedtime roguelike, mm-hmm. but also it's really, really good as like a put the Steam Deck on the table in between two people, even if they don't really play games. And it's simple enough. The roguelike elements of it are simple enough that it can be explained to someone who doesn't know video games, but who understands like Scrabble and the idea of like, oh, you have points and then you have multipliers. And
sure, yeah.
Like making big words. The one that is technically released November 2024 is My Sims for the Switch.
Ah, okay.
Because for years, nay, a decade, every time I'd go into a used game store, I'd beeline to the Wii section and look for a copy of My Sims.
Right.
Not My Sims Kingdom or My Sims Spies.
Uh-huh.
Vanilla My Sims.
Yeah, yeah.
Never had it.
Really?
Ian got it for me for Christmas.
Aw.
They released a Switch port. And then my other nicest, Age of Mythology Retold. I have not played it nearly enough because I'm not a good big sister. Sorry, Peter. But I really want to shout out for two reasons. One, I got jump scared by the accessibility, instant accessibility thing. There was a screen reader.
Oh, okay.
When I booted the game.
Huh.
And I was like, huh. And then I was like, ooh.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, it was great. And yeah. Then secondly, for their redo of the Chinese mythology, because originally, like, they had a Chinese DLC, and it was just bad. Everybody
it was
kind
a little
of
racist.
No, it was bad.
Oh, okay, it was just bad.
It was bad okay. In the sense of it very much felt like a reskin.
Oh,
one of the ones that already existed.
Sure.
And now it actually is like a different play style in its own right, and has interesting mechanics because the three original ones are the Norse, the Egyptians, and the Greeks, and they have different play styles. And you are in the campaign, you're forced to play as the different ones. It's really interesting.
Yeah,
this actually feels like its own thing, and also it's kind of like it's land control based. And as someone who really liked playing as Genghis Khan in Civ 4 Golden,
okay,
I vibe with that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm very much a city builder, not a fighter.
Sure. Wait, what? Genghis Khan, anyway.
He's in a Civ 4, he's expansionist, which means he gets bonuses for taking over lots of land.
Oh, okay.
Like, making lots of cities.
It's more about just having a lot of land versus taking it. Okay,
well, he's also aggressive,
yeah.
And I'm not good at fighting, which meant that I had a little bit of help.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That tracks.
Honorable mentions, Peak. I played it once with my coworkers. Mm-hmm. It was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the UI. I want to play it again at some point. I just have honorable mentions because I haven't played it that much. And also, because I played it at 2025 Con of the North, and it does have an update. It did have a GM update in 2025, so it counts.
Yeah.
Axolotl with a gun.
Hmm.
It is a delightful little tabletop RPG. The creators actually were running the games. They did a great job GMing the games at Con of the North. And you play as little axolotls in your own little swamp area.
Okay.
And you have two stats. You have axolotl and gun.
Those are the
and
two
you can
stats.
Choose
okay.
what gun you want, and
okay.
And you can upgrade it. And you also choose what hobbies you have.
Yeah,
like cute hobbies like knitting and juggling and learning K-pop dances and summoning things from the depths. And you fight like robot Nazis and big velociraptors and things that are trying to slurp your swamp up and destroy your habitat.
Ah,
and it's great. It's wild. I loved it.
What a game.
I bought a copy. I just haven't run it for my friends yet.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that, and that is a 2025 game.
Cool.
For me, it sort of starts and ends with Nintendo Switch 2.
Sure.
Because it came out early enough in the year that I wasn't being totally crunched on working on Blippo.
Yeah.
Although it did take away a lot of time from working on Blippo. It was butting right up against it. So just the launch lineup is really what I played.
Oh, okay.
I haven't played... I know I say this every year, but I played almost no games after that. So Mario Kart World, and I'm mentioning it not just because it was the big game at launch, because I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I got it because, like, you get caught up in the excitement of a launch event and you get a game you know you'll like.
Yeah.
Even if in another world you might have skipped or waited a while to get it. And I really dug it. It really reminded me a lot, like, it plays really well. It made me feel more like I felt when I played Mario Kart 64, which is my Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't know if it was really close to that exactly. It just made me feel the way, so I loved it more than I thought I would.
Okay.
Which was a ton of fun. And then the other one Don't Laugh, Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Tour.
I was surprised that wasn't your first bullet point.
I mean, I was leading up. It is the one I like.
Okay.
Nicest.
It is my nicest.
All right.
Unironically, I love me a tech demo.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically an RPG.
Yeah.
And like you slowly uncover more of the world, and then you do a little bit of double back, you learn a little bit about something do an old mini game.
Yeah.
And then it's just otherwise, just a showcase, and you learn all these little facts about the system, mm-hmm. which is all very promotional, but mm-hmm. you already bought it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like an ad.
Yeah, okay.
even though it's a little bit of like brand loyalty building, I guess.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But, the mini games are no joke. Some of them are very, very difficult.
Oh,
to get like the all the stars or whatever. One specifically showing off the mouse controls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you need to move a pointer from a place on the screen to another place on the screen. Mm-hmm. And click.
Okay,
and so on how fast you can do that.
Oh,
and in order to get the highest on it, you need to do it in less than 0.1 seconds.
What the heck?
Are they trying to just like train you to be faster than CAPTCHAs?
Honestly don't not understand like why this game is Nintendo hard.
Yeah, I guess so.
Use that phrase. It's very much, now you can get through all of it just like goofing off and doing whatever. But if you like, as soon as you do like the mini game and mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, now try the harder one. You're like, okay, I will. It gets way harder immediately.
Hmm.
And then after that, it gets incredibly hard to like master these games.
Yeah.
And as someone who like grew up on Nintendo hard games, but also doesn't have a ton of respect for games that are really that are challenging for challenging's sake.
Sure.
Yeah.
I liked the mix of it in this one.
Oh, okay.
Where it's this very laid back, casual experience, but also white knuckle sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it should work,
mm-hmm.
but it really does.
Okay.
And I think it's, I don't mind that I paid $10 for it. It's worth more than that. But it is unfortunate that because it's so unattractive as a product, like no one is, other than if you're not a dork like me, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like no one would be excited to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a shame they didn't give it away for free.
Yeah.
I totally see why they didn't. The Switch 2 did not need it to sell Switch 2s.
Yeah.
You know? And so it just I think it reached far fewer people than it deserved to reach.
Sure.
Because it is a very unique experience, that I really, really, I liked it just totally unironically. I thought it was brilliant. So that's, and I mean, maybe that says a little bit of how few games I played this year, but,
well, I don't think that it does, cause it's one of my brother's favorite games this year too.
Also a big dork.
Exactly.
We're
like
type.
Y'all are the audience for that. So yeah, it works. It makes sense. Oh, that's fun.
All right, Steven.
You don't have any honorable mentions?
Well, maybe I put down Mario Galaxy because I played the remaster and, got all them stars and I got them all as Luigi. That I did a little more recently.
Okay.
That was, I've talked about on the show before how much I've enjoyed playing that again.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
Okay, fair enough.
I was like, it's a Mario.
Yeah.
I'm a Mario person. But,
yeah,
I mean,
fair enough.
I think I've said this on the show before. Mario Galaxy, best 3D Mario. Miles ahead of any other. All right, moving on.
One day we should just argue about Mario games. Maybe that'll be a fun content. My nicest, Kirby Air Riders came out like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Well,
already.
And already it's my nicest, but I knew that already because it's a Kirby game. And also Kirby Air Ride is one of my favorite games on the GameCube.
Yourself well enough to be like, it will be my favorite regardless.
Yeah.
Kirby jumped up onto the table, inhaled everything off of the table and just sat in front of you and said, I am here.
Yes. Accurate, yeah. Kirby Air Ride is one of my favorite games on the GameCube. And they just made it again and put it online and added more characters and stuff, and it's just more Kirby things. So it's a fun celebration of Kirby. So of course I'm gonna pick it. Mm-hmm. And it's also just a very fun game. It's kind of difficult to describe it because when you describe a kart racing game, you have to bring it up like Mario Kart.
Yeah,
but it's
different from Mario Kart.
It's very different from Mario Kart because, first off, you don't have to press A to accelerate. You press A to brake and charge up as you're turning. You drift when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you let go, you get a big boost of speed. And they've not gamified exactly, but like, well, sort of. They've like, yeah, gamified, I guess, like drafting in like a Mario game, where like if you go behind somebody in a Mario game or other racing games, you get a little bit of boost of
yeah.
speed.
Because
I think that's based off of real life a little.
Yes,
it's not as impactful as it would be.
Yeah, you don't get a boost when you leave a draft.
Right. Yeah, that's not exactly how it works.
The point is fuel efficiency.
Yeah. But it's like a fun thing you could do in a race, and so they put it in Mario Kart games.
Yeah.
And it's like
a big part of Mario World, because there's more straightaways.
Yes.
They increase the viability of that mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So that you wouldn't be bored on all these straightaways all the time.
Yeah, but it's interesting in Kirby Air Riders, because like they make it so that like every ride you have leaves a trail of stars behind it, and you just get on that trail of stars and you get the speed boost.
Ah.
So it's like more clearly defined as a thing.
Oh,
I think in Mario Kart games, like, they don't even tell you that this is a thing that happens, but you've played past ones, so you just know it exists.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's like, this is how it works. And I think it was a thing that worked in the GameCube, the first game too, but like, you know, that wasn't as clear as it is in this game. It's just interesting. I'm a person who has followed a lot of, Masahiro Sakurai's, games.
Yeah.
And so like, it's interesting to see this design strategy. And like how he stuck to his guns in that, like, this game is basically, he tried to make it as a one button game. That was a unique part of Kirby Air Ride.
I heard there's a second button in this.
There's
game.
Two buttons, and he was like upset about it. He brought it up.
It's like, I appreciate the sort of commitment to the elegance of that control scheme.
Yeah.
And I think the way he dealt with the desire to do more is that there's a billion other random ideas in this game.
Yeah.
Like game modes and alternate versions of game modes.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a bunch of extra stuff.
It does feel a little bit like Smash has the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, it seems like it all ties together okay.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's the only thing that's elegant about it would be the one button controls. Everything else feels very grab bag and maximalist.
Yeah, it's easy to get into, but there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that like,
it's a good mix though, right? Like if you're going to be maximalist somewhere, like provide a good entry point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A thing fighting games are bad at, for example.
Yes. Yeah. They've been getting better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has been difficult. One thing that's kind of weird is that like this game, I dare say, could use a third button. Because there are some times when, like, I press a button and it does a thing I don't want it to do, and it's kind of annoying.
Oh, right, because it's not that there's few controls. There's a million things that one button does.
Yeah.
Slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. So, you know. So maybe Kirby Air Riders the second, or whatever they call it, will have that improvement in third button.
What I like about a system like that, where a lot of the actions are contextual, is that the thing I always want from action games is I want to play the controller like an instrument.
Yeah.
Mm.
I want to learn how to do it, and I think that's a great feeling of, like, of learning how a game works is not the sort of brute force or even like specific timing, but the understanding and having the muscle memory to play it like an instrument.
Yeah.
Like this game is very much like that.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely think that it's approachable. You should try it. I feel like you would at least appreciate a lot of the decisions.
I probably should.
Yeah. I mean, I'll bring my Switch too and you can try it out there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay $70.
Right.
And then my other nicest is Blueprints, because I played that game too much to not include it.
It's going to be on my to-do list for next year.
Yeah.
Just by default got on your list.
No, I do genuinely think it's like one of the... I think it's a great game. It's just like I spent so much time on it.
Every time you talk about how much you like it, I'm like, I almost believe you.
it's the same kind of feeling I get when I think about Fez, if y'all have played that game.
Not yet.
If you get all the stuff in that game, it becomes...
that's a great
soul consuming.
That game gets less fun the more you play it.
Yep.
Just like Blueprints.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You still want to get all the stuff, I guess, if you're me, and so you do it, and then that experience sticks with you in a way that, like, I think is novel, but also anyway. my honorable mentions are Root, the board game that is locally made by Leader Games, because I've been playing that a bunch recently, and it's very fun. I had played it before, but like I've gotten back into it again. I guess this is going to end up being like Spirit Island for at least a few months. Mm-hmm. But it's very fun, so I would recommend it. And then there's this fighting game called 2XKO. I think that's how you pronounce it. Maybe the X is silent. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do that. Anyways, this fighting game is interesting because like you play on a team like a Marvel versus Capcom thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just two people on the team, and you could play as a team with another person. So like you can do all the swaps and stuff as a team, which is very fun. I really enjoy that aspect of it. It's
I've enjoyed playing it with some folks who, my friends of mine who like playing fighting games. And it's been an enjoyable experience. So, yeah, that's it for me.
All right, listeners, end of year. This is your last, I mean, no, not really, but let's just say this is your last chance. For the purposes of this call to action.
Yes.
Just join with me here in this fiction. It's your last chance, at least of the year, to give us some money on Patreon.
Yes.
We have a Patreon account specifically for you to give us money.
Yep.
It only works if you give us money.
Right.
Like, we can't do it by ourselves. We looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a couple of buttons we could press to make it happen.
Yeah.
But no, it requires, unfortunately, for you to give us money for it to work.
Yep.
Now, that's all fine and good for us, because then we'd have your money.
Right.
And like, I think that's like the goal of the project.
That is, yeah.
But there must be something in it for you, the person who gives us your money.
Yes.
What might that be?
Well, you get a bunch of bonus content if you're going to miss us over the hiatus. And if, you know, you'll have all of those nice replays to listen to.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, you can get more content from us.
Sure. And we have hours and hours of bonus content available on the Patreon.
And we've been doing really well with it this year. The calendar math is calendar mathing. You get your episodes 1 week early.
Right.
Compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
And those episodes that you get 1 week early, ad-free.
Yes.
So you just get to hear our little skits in the middle of the show, but, you know, for everybody else who's got to listen to some ads afterwards.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not that you know where the skip button is or anything, so you got to listen to them.
Uh-huh.
But it saved the trouble of either listening to them or skipping them by getting ad-free episodes.
Right.
And yes, a whole week early.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot. I would say it's worth your money.
Yeah.
So, like, give us your money. I think that's the upshot of this.
I think so, yeah.
That's but, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot of money.
No.
It could be, you know, what, $250 a month is the lowest tier?
Yeah, you can do your own math and calculate how much the time you save listening to no ads saves you based on your hourly wage.
Right.
Or you could just give us some money.
That's the strat. Go to patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Give us your money.
All right, we talked about what we played. What are we looking forward to playing? What's our most anticipated? This is the kind of thing they give out awards for these days.
True.
You know, so...
Yeah, actually, they do. It's kind of weird.
It's dumb, but now we're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I guess we are doing it.
Lydia.
Hi. So, I am anticipating playing a bunch of games that already exist.
Okay.
That's just my bucket list, whatever. But in terms of games that are coming out, Slay the Spire 2 is like the only one that I could actually think of.
Okay, fair enough.
And that I don't really pay attention that much to or play games like right in the jump when they get launched.
Yeah.
But Slay the Spire 2, I love Slay the Spire, played it a lot. Really enjoy it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do for the second one.
Okay.
Things also is interesting, and I'm really hoping that it works well for the team, because one of the reasons why it's now is because when the Unity shenanigans happened, the dev team made the decision to take their already very formed game and port it and change it to Godot.
Right. I remember that. I remember hearing about that. Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested to see how it goes for them, both in terms of, like, you know, with all that marketing and that risky decision, but also because I love the game and I'm curious to see where they take it.
The two things I always hear about Slay the Spire are the game's really fun and also the art's bad. Those are the two things I always hear.
Okay. So if you...
Yeah. What do you say to that?
Confused, because I don't know what you mean in the sense, because do you mean the official art is bad, or do you mean the fact that you can unlock the beta art for the cards, which is bad art?
Oh, that's fun. I didn't know that they could do that. Okay.
Fun fact, you can actually individually select which card uses the official art and which card uses the beta art.
So I have, like,
for each of the characters.
Yeah.
So I have some of my favorite beta art for some of them, like the beta art for Tantrum.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think this isn't something that I have an opinion on, because I feel like it's fine. I think people don't like the art style of Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
And I don't know that...
Because it has a little bit of a Saturday morning cartoon vibe to it.
A bit.
Like a little bit of like Dungeons and Dragons, the cartoon.
Yeah, a little.
Less the sort of like high fantasy illustration look.
Maybe.
I think of it very much... The way it animates makes me very much think of like paper puppets.
Yeah,
almost.
Sure.
I've never had an issue with the way Slay the Spire looks. So
yeah, it looks fine to me.
Yeah,
I like it. I also love all the little gremlins, and I love the shopkeep. They're all great.
Yeah.
My hopeful, it's not actually like announced or anything, but the team behind the Tales games, mm-hmm. Tales of Symphonia, Tales of Vesperia, whatever, have been remaking a lot of the older games.
Ooh, and okay.
Putting them on new consoles. I'm really hoping that they make a remake of Tales of the Abyss.
Ah, okay.
Because that was for Nintendo DS.
Yeah.
One of them. I can't remember which one. Us really liking the Tales games, Ian played the Tales of the Abyss, of course. The problem is this, it's really hard to have a shared experience with someone playing a Nintendo DS.
Yeah.
And so as try as I might, I wasn't able to actually like follow along with them while they were playing this Tales game. And it is actually one of Ian's favorite Tales games. Like, it is one that Ian said, I will put in the 70 hours or whatever to replay this JRPG.
Cool, okay.
I'm really hoping that they remake it so that way I can join them and experience the game for the first time, and so they can experience it again. They're really excited to try and play a different, a character other than the main character, and which is like sometimes kind of hard with this style of game. You kind of get used to one play style and you have to figure out all the others and blah, blah, blah. I really hope that that's on the docket.
Yeah.
That would be really, really cool. So maybe someday. And then, like, you know, Persona 6, whenever it happens.
Eventually, at some point.
Yeah.
So one big indie game I'm really excited for is Big Walk.
Yeah, what is that?
Big Walk is a co-op game.
Oh, okay.
Where you get together with your friends online,
mm-hmm.
and you just walk through an environment.
Oh, okay.
And you're this sort of like very rudimentary looking cartoony figures.
Sure.
There's the voice chat is based on proximity.
Oh, nice. You walk
further away, you hear them less.
Okay, yeah.
So it's physicalized, even though it's an online experience.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you travel through this thing, and then you find places to do puzzles together.
Ooh.
It's designed as a social experience, which I'm really excited for because I don't play online games that often.
Yeah.
I don't play games a lot with my friends online.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do a lot of co-op experiences. But it's the kind of thing I would love to do. And what's nice about this is it fits my model of like social interaction, which is people getting together but having like a little job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that I'm very well suited to.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of need something for us to do. And so this seems very attuned to my personality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's from House House, the folks who did Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's being published by my publisher, Panic.
Oh. Awesome.
And so I need to like pick some brains over there about that. I haven't really mentioned it, but like I'm really excited about it. It has a tone,
mm-hmm.
which is like it's silly, but it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't cynical, which I'm always looking for in games that are funny, is a
yeah.
lack of cynicism.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting that from this. Now we'll see. I might be putting a lot of hopes on it. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay.
It might be a case where I end up not playing it as much because my habit as a gamer is to not play games like this.
Sure.
So what I need to do is I'm going to recruit a bunch of folks around
yeah.
to play with me so that I can actually get through the thing.
Yeah.
Because it's a co-op only experience.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of thing. It's no mm-hmm. game looks like it
mm-hmm.
or seems to play like it. And I love games like that. They're just like, we're just going to make a thing.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to worry about how it fits with all the other things.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, it's also not, it doesn't seem to be that it's like trying to be different for the different sake.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it has its own idea of what to do and it's just going for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really admire that as a developer.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot pinned on it. So I'm really looking forward to
it. Well, you've sold me on it. So.
Yeah.
So you're playing with me. You're yeah. playing with me.
Yeah.
I'm also really bad at playing co-op games online.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure that out then. That's for this game. It sounds like it's worth it.
That's the only new game on my list.
Okay.
I'm also looking forward to Super Mario Brothers Wonder Nintendo Switch 2 Edition plus Meetup in Bella Belle Park. That's the full title.
Okay.
I love that all these Switch 2 plus bonus content things
yeah.
are the longest, stupidest names.
It's so long.
Unironically, I think that's exactly the right attitude. It's like,
okay,
this is a product. Let's name it like a product.
Mm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited. But I loved Mario Wonder.
Yeah.
It's a great excuse to play it again. It looks like Rosalina's going to be a character.
Ooh.
Screenshots. I love Rosalina.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge Galaxy fan. Meetup in Bella Bell Park looks like a co-op kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget that Mario Wonder is like the new Super Mario Brothers and that you can play it four player.
Yep.
Because it's an incredible single player experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I forget that it has that mechanic.
Mm.
But I think the DLC seems to have some, there's not a lot of details about it, or I've forgotten all the details. I don't care. I just want to play Wonder again.
Sure.
So I'm excited about that. But in that vein, Lydia, you had a hopeful. So that was my excuse to add a hopeful, which is this may or may not come. It's probably not going to. But next year is the 40th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to Mario Galaxy 3.
Oh.
It's probably not going to happen.
I mean,
the Galaxy movie is coming.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
I'm sure I'll like okay, but like it's an Illumination film.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
But I love that Galaxy is the base because it's just... I mentioned already in the show, like, Galaxy is my favorite Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And, my 3D Mario, anyway. And I would love if they just stealth announced Mario Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
It would be, some people have mentioned it, but that's very tea leaf reading. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. But I mean,
fingers crossed.
This is the place to do that.
I know. So I'm anticipating, probably being disappointed when that doesn't happen.
Well,
next 3D Mario will come. So,
yeah.
Whether
it's
that or something else, I'm sure I'll like it.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. I don't have a hopeful. I didn't think about it that way. I'm sure there's a Kirby game, but I don't know what it'll be. So I can't be like, I hope it's a Kirby game. So, I mean, I hope there's a Kirby game.
Yeah.
I definitely hope there's a Kirby game. But I mean, like, I just don't know what it will be. So, like, we'll see what it is. The one I put on here is Neo 3.
Yeah.
Because it's the only game I know of that I'm interested in that is coming out in the near future. And it's supposed to be just like Neo 2, but open world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I like Neo 2 a lot. I play it a bunch when it comes out, and then I don't really touch it much after the fact.
Yeah.
But it's very fun. It is kind of like Dark Souls-y, but not scary.
Yeah.
So I could get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that game coming out. I didn't have anything else, and I always have a hard time coming out with anticipated because I don't pay as much attention to games that are coming out in the future that I used to when I was younger.
I got lucky this year because like mine is one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
But I think if you go back to old episodes, I think you and I both have trouble sometimes getting that excited about a game until it's really close to release.
Well, yeah.
My problem is also like even games that I'm really excited to play like right when they come out, I still don't necessarily play them right when they come out.
Yeah.
Because with Persona 5, it came out 2015, it was a while ago. And I played it for the first time. I played Persona 5 Royale in 2020.
Ah.
Because part of it was I was waiting to see if they would release a handheld version as the bonus one, like Persona 3, Persona 3 Portable.
Oh, okay.
Or in Golden. And then part of it is... because I wanted to see if they would have a handheld version, and then they didn't, and I was like, well, I guess I'm getting a PS4.
Dang.
Alternatively, I love West of Loathing. Such a funny game.
Mm-hmm.
Such a funny game. So then when Shadows Over Loathing just dropped, it's like, I'm buying this and I'm playing it now.
Yeah.
Immediately. Let's go. So is the two dichotomies. Wait for a thing for so long, for years to play it and then finally play it years later, or immediately get it because it just fell in my lap.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works, because you remember it exists and you're like, I like this thing.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough time to think about it, so you
object
just go ahead
permanence.
And get it. Yeah Yeah, I suppose so.
So explicitly on my bingo card,
yes,
was do a game jam, which
okay.
I think was one of the first things that I got to put a sticker on because of the global game jam.
Your global game jam game, by the way, I think I've told you this, but I really loved it.
Yeah, it was really sweet. I thank you. I know you really liked it. And I'm really pleased you did. And then my other, also my bingo card was go to a games conference, which was Serious Play.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Not on my bingo card, but was an intention. Participate more in the IDG ATC community.
Mm. Yeah.
That was an intention I had for this year. Kind of succeeded. Maybe.
You went to some events.
Asterisks.
Sure.
Well, I mean, you're coming to the holiday party.
Yes.
All right.
There we go.
Excited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For me, I wanted to get Dream Settler out. Not only did that not happen, but Dream Settler got canceled. Which is, I am going to tell the story on the podcast.
Yeah.
I just haven't been able to. But like, it was a weird thing where Wario64 posted about it before I could tell my wife.
Dang.
Like that's the summarization. That's the quickest I could say of like what that was.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that I will tell the full story.
Yeah
for sure. Okay. Sure.
I remember that.
But that was my hope for 2025. Mm-hmm. I also was talking about this unannounced project that I was working on.
Yeah.
I was very frustrated I couldn't talk about it.
Right.
And it was only a couple weeks after that episode came out last year that, it was Blippo Plus, you know.
Spoiler alert.
If you didn't know.
Yeah.
But Blippo Plus was announced as a Playdate game at the Day of the Devs event in December. on their winter stream. But my involvement with the color version and the existence of the color version that just came out recently, that was not revealed for a good while after that.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, why don't I know exactly the day when that happened? Because it was a big deal. But that was the unannounced project, which I'm sure people gathered as soon as it was announced.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that happened. That really took over my year in a way I didn't expect it to.
Sure.
It was more work than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I was really crunching very hard on it. And I've talked a little bit about that on the show, because once it was announced, I got to talk more about it, which
yeah.
was nice.
Yeah.
But it came out, and then I've talked about in the accomplishments, just like what an amazing, you know, huge experience that was, and how incredible it was, you know, as a developer. I got to see and experience more as a developer than I ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
So independent of the scale of it or whatever, there were just parts of being a developer I got to experience more of.
Cool.
Which I value that a lot.
Yeah.
So that was great. I did that, which was very cool. And mm-hmm. I mean, at the beginning or at the end of last year, I was thinking maybe both of those games are going to come out, and like, wouldn't that be like a huge thing for me?
Yeah.
It's been a weird up and down, because Blippo Plus was something that took about 2 years.
Yeah.
From when I signed on to it, but it was a lot of the work was crammed into the end of 2024 and the first half of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very. The fact that Dream Settler, the thing I've been working on for so long, and that I had a much more like a creative investment in as a creative lead on that project,
yeah,
that just got dropped,
yeah,
and then Blippo Plus, the thing that I just got hired on as an extra job because Dream Settler work the progress on Dream Settler was going slow
mm-hmm.
for other reasons, I had some free time, that became my big 2025 release,
yeah,
it just. It took me really a long time to wrap my head around that, because a lot of my emotions were tied in different ways in the different projects.
Right.
I split those up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a very interesting, very strange way. It was a very unusual year.
For sure.
But Blippo came out, Dream Slayer didn't. Net good. I think I'm luckier than most developers, even with the struggle. I wanted to release Operators, which is a game I've talked about on the show as a mobile game.
Very fun.
Steven's a big fan, mm-hmm. which is maybe all I need.
Lydia, you probably wouldn't like it. It's a lot of math.
About it, and you didn't sell me very well.
Yeah,
Mark sold it slightly better.
Oh yeah,
neither of you have shown it to me yet.
Oh right, oops.
I'm gonna give you a peek before we leave the clubhouse tonight.
Yeah,
but I've since I last spoke about it, I've made no progress.
Ah, okay.
Which is pretty wild. I've just been too busy. But
yeah.
I'm like a week away from finishing it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just so it goes.
We can't all be Lydia. So
yeah. I wanted to get Nice Games Alliance some sponsors and some funding.
Yeah.
And that's been a big success in one way, but a half success in another. So
okay.
I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Well, that's good, because that's an ambitious goal anyway.
Yeah. Check that box. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. Even progress on that is big.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a long-term one.
Nice. So my resolutions are always just like a sentence. Which is kind of great, because I could be as vague as possible and I'd be like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
And so mine was play more games, do more stuff outside of my apartment. I think I played more games. That does seem accurate.
You're spending a lot of time out of your apartment now.
Yeah. Right now at this moment. that's true. Also, I moved in with my brother. Yeah. So that also counts.
Yeah.
Success. I said I would be working on future club games. I'm not doing that, but you know,
were thinking about the Kickstarter game
that
you couldn't talk about it then.
Part-time hero, I think that was the main thing that we were talking about at the time, and working on at the time. I guess I could talk about it now, but like, you know, we're not working on it, so
yeah.
So you know, I played more games, so yeah. I'm content. I have set my game dev resolution this year to make stuff and be creative.
It would be really great for that. Really help you tick that off.
Is the fishing mini game collection? Yes.
Yeah, that exactly. I was going to say something different, but that's a really, you should do that.
I'm sure you were. so I do want to talk about that a little bit.
Make a fishing dating sim.
it's probably outside my wheelhouse, but. That's interesting. I think I do want to talk about it a little bit, because, you know, y'all have been joking about it for a while.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious.
Okay. But I think that, like,
sorry. All right, that should last me a while.
Okay. I think that, like, after talking about it during our nice thinking, and then just thinking about it some, and then experimenting a little bit with, like, playing some playdate games and things like that, I don't know. I haven't been as enthusiastic about working. I haven't been as enthusiastic about being creative in a while.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because I lost my job. And so, like, I think that, like, I have been a bit in a rut with respect to, like, working on things. And so that's part of why I want my goal to be more creative. But the fishing mini game has not sparked joy for me, I guess.
Yeah.
So I haven't really been working on it much. And I've been, you know, it's been a gag in the show. So, like, I haven't brought it up, but, like, I think that's kind of where I'm at with it. So I think I just need to work on, something, but I'm not sure what yet. So, I mean, I need to work on something, because that's what I said I was going to do this resolution. And, you know, if we don't do that, we get punished somehow. That's always been the case.
There's punishment?
No.
Well, no, we did all your things, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't do all my things. My asterisk on the community was that I ended up on a podcast, which meant that took up the social intellectual battery that was going to go to IDGATTC.
Well, that's a worthy sacrifice, as far as I'm concerned.
Technical failure for the sacrifice.
Yeah, but what I will be working on is getting a job. I've gotten my tickets and stuff ready for GDC, which is very expensive, as everyone knows.
Yeah, since we spoke last about it on the show, we've all made our travel arrangements.
Yes, I think we're all booked up.
Thank you,
I just looked at hotels.com. Wasn't that exciting?
Well, Dale and I made our plans separately, but yeah, Steven, you spearheaded the, you know, getting the rest of you going, so.
Yeah.
Well, okay, thanks. I'll take the credit.
That is labor.
That's true, it is.
People get paid to do this for a reason.
Why didn't I get paid? Oh, we're getting a free ticket.
You're not a licensed travel agent, is why.
Yeah.
You also are finishing your degree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, we'll see if that happens credit next year, but yeah.
Okay, moving on.
You're going to make progress on the degree, at least.
Yeah, yeah, I will be making progress.
By this
on the
time next year, you will have done it or gotten really, really close.
Yes, Thank you. That's true. I will be doing that. Yeah,
that's pretty exciting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No, but I want to ask a little bit about Melanated Game Kitchen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you're still looking for full time employment.
Yes.
But how does this fit into that? Is it something where you obviously can't divide your attention too much because you can't look for a job?
That
your efforts won't be rewarded as well.
Right.
But is there a world in which you would be able to commit to building up your presence to eventually become closer to a full-time job within the way that the system works? Is that something that you would imagine doing?
That is something that I would like to do, which is part of why I signed up for it.
Yeah.
I think that, like, it's, it's not there yet, but, like, it just will require time and build up, like, and there needs to be more stuff happening. Right. In it, in order for me to do that.
Is there not a lot of active projects in the group right now?
Yeah, so they're working on a couple of things right now. One of them is Clock Out at 2. We've interviewed a few people who've worked on that game in the past.
Oh, yes.
That just coincidentally. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, so that's one of the things that they're working on. For the most part, the co-op is really just like a side gig for everyone right now. Sure, so it's not like a main thing. There's some folks managing it, but, like, even that is like their side project a lot of the time, and a lot of folks who are in it right now are also looking for work, so we've got that shared.
which is
kind of nice, actually, to have that community to talk about that kind of thing. I am hoping that it builds up to something that is bigger, and then, like, I could be more part of it too in it. Or, like, the nice thing is like, if I do when I do find a full-time job, I could still slot in some work in this too and help out with it and build it up, and then, like, potentially it can become another source of income or another source of work.
When you were talking about your fishing minigame collection, things that you were thinking about, the things you were less interested as part of it, but slotting in, would be like some art for the project.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Would this be something you could bring to that group to see, like, who wants to work with you on it?
Oh, like doing? Oh, you mean the fishing minigame specifically?
Like, if it's a place for people to spin up small projects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something you can be instigator.
Well, whatever your project ends up being, like, is it the type of thing that says, I have art, I need art, this is the thing, would you want
to
join?
I do want to pitch some stuff to them. Yeah. That's why I was thinking about Sledgehammer Bride.
Yeah. That seems like a huge commitment, though.
It could potentially be.
Which you may want to do, just maybe not right away.
I think with Sledgehammer Bride, I've never really imagined it being a big game.
Sure, sure.
And so, like, I think it feels like something we could potentially do in this, and this feels like a good group for it, because that game is supposed to be real black and this this co-op is real black, so I think that, like, that's this seems like a good group for that aspect of it, which is why I'm excited about pitching it. But also, if they could, I could pitch some, like, much smaller projects too.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that they would probably be more would probably fit more within the wheelhouse currently.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, the amount of effort that folks can put into things right now.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things you have talked about also in the minigame episode, but just related to projects, is that you're less interested in the distribution side of game development, and so having a collective, there will be more interest in all the different areas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even if it's not specifically working on projects, it's like support and release and all that stuff. And when you got so just to put it in your head, maybe something you might want to like at least chat with folks if they'd be interested in, you know.
Yeah, no, I was already thinking about it, but it's good to have it personified, I guess, in the game, on the show.
Yeah. But also, nothing should stop you from making Sledgehammer Bride.
Oh, nothing will.
That's still my opinion. That game has to happen as quickly as possible.
For sure, for sure. Okay, now you're on the hook.
Oh, right. I still have to go.
Uh-huh.
Lydia added an item here to the top of my list, which is finished Chance of Sinar.
That's
so funny. I guess I'm on the hook for that.
Oh, hilarious.
And as we've talked about, was it in the Patreon bonus? We leaked that out under the feed, but
it was.
Lydia, you said it would be just start over.
Yeah, you can totally start over.
Because it's a short enough game.
I actually considered starting over because when I first got the game, played half of it, and then I...
You got to keep a lot in working memory to play that game, so it all goes away. And,
sure.
But I should definitely just start
over. The note-taking is actually pretty good. I was surprised. I decided I'll try it, and then if I really am lost, I'll start over. The note-taking in systems behind that are actually pretty good, that I was able to retrieve stuff that had been offloaded off of my working memory enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's also such a short game, you really should just start over if you feel you need to. It is not that much of a setback.
Well, according to this list, it's my top priority. So... I will.
Gotta get it done.
I didn't know you prioritized it. In my defense.
I mean, you didn't know about the punishments, so I see how you could cavalierly add it to my list.
Amazing.
But now, it's real now.
Mm-hmm.
I put in here, I want to get out of this post-release rut.
Oh, okay.
Described it, which is, this has happened on other projects.
When
you finish a project, it's kind of a, maybe it's not a perfect analogy, but it's kind of a postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And I've been going through that for the past couple months.
Sure.
Since Blippo came out. It's very hard to get a lot done during the day. It is, and it's a very weird feeling because Blippo Plus has been a success.
Yeah.
And a lot of projects are in my history have been more mixed.
Mm.
They've been successful commercially, but not creatively, but commercially, a little bit of both, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And I think it's just true for everybody for their whole career. It's always going to be not everything you hoped for. It's always going to be a little better than you thought.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And with Blippo, most of the surprises have been good in terms of its reception.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but most of them, it's been, I would say it's a success. Maybe not an unqualified one, but it's been a success.
Sure.
And I have a lot to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I still have been really mopey
the
last 2 months. Mm-hmm. And it's been, and I have a hard time understanding it. And I got to pull myself out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just time. But like after Widget Satchel, I went like probably 6 months and I did a little after that. It was really, really rough.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is happening again on this. It's the biggest project of that scale since then. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but that's where I am right now. Even though I'm getting stuff done, it just doesn't feel...
It's not as satisfying, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe part of it is just like I'm in between projects.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big part of it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a doldrums.
Yes, that's a good description for it. Mm-hmm. I mean... A big part of it, too, is I was really hoping to, once Blippo was out, I was expecting to go full-time back to Dream Settler.
Oh, yeah.
So I was hoping to have something to do. I was crunching on Blippo Plus so hard before and after Dream Settler was canceled that I didn't have time to plan what was the next thing was going to be.
Right, sure.
Even though I was thinking about it a lot.
Yeah.
So that time is now.
Yeah.
The thing is, I want to release something in 2026. It's an artificial goal I've set for myself, but I want every calendar year to release something of any scale, of any size. And I've been doing that since 2019.
Okay.
Every single year, something I've made has been put out.
Yeah.
And some of it's small, some of it's big. One of them was Nice Games Alliance, starting a nonprofit, so that cheated a little bit, but I'm putting it in a category. It could be any sort of thing to have completed or presented. That's my goal. It's fine if I don't do it. There are many reasons why, but that keeps me a little bit motivated because I have so many things going on. I juggle a lot.
Yeah.
That if I just keep juggling everything, nothing will ever be finished.
Sure.
So I have to make sure I buckle and focus on something, at least one thing per calendar year. I think it's been helpful for me.
That makes sense.
It's got to be something, whether that's Operators, which is perpetually 1 week from release, or Noble Tools, which I've talked about on the show before. It's going to be something.
Yeah.
Nothing big, because there's nothing that has been worked on enough for that.
Mm.
I also kind of want to revisit Robustin.
Oh?
I mentioned this to you a lot, and then neither of us really do anything about it.
Yeah.
But, man, I have to keep reminding myself, and I keep reminding us at the table here, that that game is great, and we got to get that in front of some publishers.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe we should do something over hiatus where we actually block out some time. Because we keep making a to-do list, and we never have time to do
it. If we set some time to do it, it would help us.
Yeah.
So that might be helpful.
I'm saying it publicly now.
Okay, well, we're on the hook.
Yep, yep.
You know the punishment.
Yeah, and then...
do we?
Yeah, it was explained to you at orientation. For Nice Games Alliance, keep on. I want to get some grant money this upcoming year. We didn't get any grant money in 2025, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I would like, because we've talked about that being where we want to be the main source of our income. It's not individual contributions, but grant money. We can still, you know, we want to keep things free. We want to do more giving to the community than asking for their money.
Sure.
We're still going to ask for their money. But there is a big project that I wanted to do some big project. That was
okay.
The goal. And whether that was going to be working towards a one-day dev conference, which is part of the goals for the organization,
mm-hmm.
or something else. Just some big project that sort of proves out why this organization is the scale that it is, or the scale that we're growing it to.
Yeah.
And actually, last night at our Game Dev Community Federation meeting, we came up with something that's going to happen in 2026.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Now, I'm saying that because that's how we feel now. So we'll
sure.
see.
Okay.
But we're partnering on a big project, and we're trying our hope. And there are multiple stakeholders now.
Yeah.
We want to do this summer 2026. So hopefully you'll hear more about that.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. We did a lot of brainstorming and lots of stuff. And then Blippo Plus isn't out of my life yet. I'm working on this Mac port. But also, maybe I want to bring it to PlayStation. Maybe I want to bring it to Xbox.
Oh!
I have four widget satchel. Mm-hmm. I became a licensed developer for all three platforms.
Yeah.
All three console platforms. We only ever shipped a Switch version.
Yeah.
But I'm still familiar with the workflows. I still understand how to port to these other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to do that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'll give it a rest, a couple of months, maybe in the spring. But I would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason than just to, like, you know, sell more copies.
Yeah.
I think. But also, we've talked about, like, adding some features or something like that. And I think tying it to a new port, a new release, might be a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm doing bug fixes. The Mac port is tied with some bug fixes and things. But there are things I want to change. There's things we've talked about improving or adding. But, like, we're not making a 1.1. We're making a 1.0.3.
Like, yeah.
So maybe a good reason to add some stuff or you know, some features or some quality of life stuff will come if there's a bigger launch.
Sure.
And that would be more consoles. So that's what I want to do. We'll see. That's going to be something that the publisher is going to have to want. And then the rest of the creative team is going to be interested in doing. But we have talked about wanting to do this before the launch. We just haven't talked about it since launch. So
yeah.
That's the thing I'd like to do. And then I'm sort of thinking about maybe when we go to GDC, I'm going to see if I can try to get a pitch together for some other projects that I'm working on.
Okay.
So we had Mike Lash on the show to talk about Ladder Game.
Mm-hmm.
He's my colleague on Dream Settler, and he and I are still working together on a new project.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's still really early. And I think that might be something I might want to pitch at GDC, but I have to come up with, like, what do I need? You know, we wouldn't really have a full vertical slice available.
Yeah.
These are all musings that are not interesting to you, listener, but I'm trying to think of, like, you know, I've got a successful game out now. I would like to, you know, parlay that if I can. And this
would
be my first opportunity, and I kind of don't want it to pass. And even if nothing comes of it, it gets me in some rooms. I can shake some hands. I can meet some people.
Sure.
I can do some biz devs schmoozing.
Yeah, and that can mean something in the future.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So I want to make sure that I have a reason to have meetings. I don't want to just say, like, hey, meet me. Like,
yeah.
And I'll give you a really half-baked pitch just so that I said I did it. Like, I don't want to do that.
Sure.
Yeah, you're charming.
Yeah.
Let's meet Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. True, true.
Just make a website that just people can sign up just for that and just trick people into thinking it's interesting.
So, it wouldn't be a trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as every year, a lot of things. I'm ambitious, and I'm not going to do half of it. But we'll see if any... And other things will come up.
Yeah.
That I'll do instead, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Lydia.
So, I mean, for me, it's kind of interesting. Part of why I really liked the idea of the bingo sheet, just in general, is that you could make very approachable, very, like, achievable things. Mm-hmm. And then you could gently stretch yourself in a couple different ways, as opposed to, like, saying... Oh, I want to do something, like, I want to meditate every day. And then as soon as, like, don't meditate, it's like, well, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it, specifically when it comes to, like, work and games in that vein, I don't actually have anything that I'm aspiring to do. The two things I wrote are things either I'm just planning to do or that I have to do. And that doesn't really feel the right. So I'm kind of not sure what I'm kind of feeling like I'm careening towards, not doldrums, but maybe just like lost woods. Mm. And I'm not really sure what the year will come for,
yeah.
come into. I am really excited to go to GDC for the first time.
Yeah.
That's something that is really going to be exciting. And if I run out, if I can't think of enough on my bingo sheet, that'll probably be the center square.
Okay.
The thing I have to do is I need to work on my website. That was something that I have two squares on my bingo sheet for that, actually. Minimal viable product and then more stuff. And I've not done either.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that I can be motivated by having it ready for GDC. And then because I need to figure out how to do that, but then also figure out a formula for what it should have and a system to keep it updated.
Yeah.
Like it is such a big thing and it is exactly the kind of work that my brain does not do well. And it is so intertwined with imposter syndrome that it's a very hard thing. It's a very hard nut to crack.
Yeah,
sure.
But I need to do it. I was so motivated after my honeymoon because I ended up talking about my work with a bunch of people and I didn't have an easy way to share my work that I was talking about. That was really motivating to me.
Yeah.
And that was really, in a way that was exciting. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I really want to share what I do because people think it's cool and I want to share it and it's hard. I can't do it. I need to find that.
Yeah.
Again, if that's going to just actually be something that will end up being an aspiration for the year and not just another task that I fail to do for another year and then maybe end up doing 2 years from now.
Yeah, I think for something like that where you have to do it, but the actual task is not that exciting. My advice on stuff like that mm-hmm. is to pick the minimum version of it that you can do, even though a better version would be better.
Yeah, I need that. I tried to do that with the minimal viable product, and I don't think I was minimal viable enough.
I see.
Okay.
I think that so because that's why I split it into two squares on my bingo sheet sure. this year. So maybe break it down more, try and do some stuff.
Yeah.
Part of it is also because my future at work is kind of like up in the air. We've got a new project manager or product manager.
Mm.
Roadmap stuff has been in conversation for the last quarter, both with me in the room and not with me in the room. And
oh.
still trying to figure, well, it's just because meetings and stuff.
Oh.
Not because of me specifically, but just meetings and stuff.
Okay.
And so that's like, I'm not entirely sure what we're going to be doing. And the things that I know that are high priority on the roadmap don't feel are not very like I'm making a game.
Yeah.
It's not like last year where I did Category Quest and like that was what yeah. we were working on. So I wrote like working on, I don't really know what to say. I have probably going to be more like product UX design support. Like I make very detailed storyboards, which my UX person has called lo-fi wireframes, which is very flattering. And doing more of that, probably some learning design, which I'm not trained in, but I'm very adjacent to. More like product management support. I've been working a lot in Jira, which I don't mind. I like housekeeping in Jira. I'm good at it because I've had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
More than that of that than game design. I don't really know if that's true or if how to feel about that.
Huh.
Hopefully going to do another escape room. I would love to. Chest is going to be in Arizona next year, which is a great state. Would love to visit again.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of question marks. In terms of work for my next year, I'm really and the things that were aspirational for this year, especially participating in the community, which kind of got morphed into joining a podcast.
Yeah.
Are the things that are now going to be continuing, right? They're going to, it's not that that is not something I'm doing. It's that it is now a part of my life. I will have done it for a year with you all.
Yeah.
And done a bunch of cool things. So, you know, not taking that for granted either, you know, having that experience of, oh God, what did I do for a year? I had that same feeling a lot with books in college. I never thought I read, and then I would return all of these books and then realize, oh wait, I also read, like, if I printed out everything I read on the computer, it would be like as tall as the ceiling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I liked a lot of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I read. It feels like that with, I don't want that sensation to happen with this, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, doing a game jam or getting to go to a conference.
Right.
So confusion. That's what I'm looking forward to. But hopefully going to play more games.
Yeah.
I'm kind of trying to feel out what my own little kernels of aspiration are going to be. I actually have started, I'm kind of wondering, because I started playing Unpacking.
Oh, finally. Cool.
Oh, man. I am on the last room. I'm almost done. I didn't finish it off last night because I need to go to bed. But I keep thinking about it and keep thinking, like, this is the type of game I want to make. Because yeah. I really love, like, that kind of narrative storytelling, like, environmental storytelling and all the little details that I try to add in my games. That's what I really love.
You know, that game has lots of little, like, Easter eggs, like, items remind you of pieces of the story. Mm-hmm. It's good visual storytelling. The thing that makes that game a masterpiece is the actual mechanical storytelling.
Mm. Yes.
The actual, like, there's... you know, you move in with someone and now there's not enough room for both of your stuff.
And
like, just this kind of like that story is delivered through play in a way that is for something with very simple mechanics and feels like you master right away. Like the fact that the story is revealed through your actions in a way, it's so elegant. I love that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Depending on who you are living with, whether you are allowed to move their stuff or not allowed to move their stuff, that was something I noticed mechanically.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, cool. That's something recent. So maybe that it ends up being like playing more games and figuring out what are the types of things I want to do and not trying to achieve something. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Succinct. Develop your voice as an artist.
Whoa, full circle.
Cool. Well, listeners.
For new to the program, we can explain what hiatus is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please explain it.
Which is, Lydia needs to learn.
Is this hiatus. The orientation?
We go on break over the winter. We take 8 to 10 weeks. I think we haven't decided where we're going to do 10, I think.
I think it was 10, yeah.
Yeah, so we're off the air for 10 weeks, but not really, because we go back through the last year and change, and we pick our favorite episodes of the year, things we think people would like to hear again, and we do them. Now that's just reruns, right?
Mm.
But we also record new intros to all the old episodes where we describe what we liked about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Gives us some extra context that we didn't have until after we recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get new content from us every week still for the next 10 weeks. But of course, as we said in the middle of the show, you want even more while you're waiting. Is that patreon.com/nightsgamesclub.
Mm-hmm.
Get some more content there. We'll be with you all the way and then back. At the end of February.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's our show. For show notes and links on today's topics, go to our website, nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon, didn't you know? Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at, say it again with me, patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode or others or whatever with your fellow listeners on Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Tell us what you've been doing this past year that you're proud of, what you're looking forward to next year, whether it's professionally or just what games you're anticipating.
Make a bingo card and share it.
Yes, I think we're probably going to have to change the system for Nicest and the Nicest episode to the bingo system.
Bingo's like legit cool.
It was really good.
Yeah. You really sold it to us. I think we might have to for next year.
You know, give it a shot, yeah.
So listeners can join us on that journey on Discord if they so choose. Again, next week, it's starting the winter hiatus, so there will be a nice new, nice replay for you every week for the next 10 weeks. But that's it for this year. And until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.